Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
Balance Virtually provides full-service financial planning services for small businesses, nonprofits, and startups. We can help you manage your monthly reporting, bank and credit card reconciliations, budget and forecasting, payroll services, and much more. To schedule a consultation with a certified public accountant with over 16 years of experience helping people like you, visit balancevirtually.com. Balance Virtually, your locally owned full-service financial planning service company. Welcome to the Veronica Edwards Show, where we have fun financial conversations that everyone listening can apply to their personal and professional life. I'm your host, Veronica Edwards, and I'm excited to be back here on bizradio.us. As always, I want to thank all the listeners, people listening live, people downloading the podcast, all the love on social media. I just appreciate you guys so much. I have to shout out Jylen Farr, who is my social media guru, my brand ambassador. Thank you for making me be cool. And as we approach 2,000 downloads, which is double what we did from last year, season one, and a big part of our success here on the Veronica Edwards Show is Miss Michelle Schwartz. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Veronica. It's good to be here.
Yes, Michelle is back again for another CPA chat that we have monthly here on the Veronica Edwards Show. And Michelle, please tell the listeners that at this point still might not know about your business. We're going to keep reminding them about it. Please share with the listeners about MichelleTrockCPA.com.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, so we are an accounting and consulting firm working with small to mid-sized businesses and nonprofits of all sizes. Pretty much as you described, doing a lot of consulting, accounting work, et cetera, for these organizations. We love helping. We love being a part of their organizations, making sure they're staying on track and doing all the right things, staying in compliance, et cetera. Just anything we can do to help them, with the exception, of course, of the income tax side of things, which will always help them refer out and find the right fit for them, a tax specialist, a tax partner in the area. So we know, you and I know, that there's CPAs in town that love the tax side of things. They specialize in that. And so we'll gladly refer clients to them for that kind of work.
Michelle, you're so classy how you say it. I'm, on the other hand, I'm like, I don't do tax. But yes, we always give the disclaimer that we know enough to be dangerous. Yes, we've done taxes before,
probably
personally or for some friends, but it's not how we want to make a living day to day. But we love our other CPAs that are in that field. So
yes.
That being said, today we're going to be discussing, how do you determine an employee versus a contractor? These last two CPA chats that we've had in February and March, we've talked about 1099s and just how that's something that comes up once a year and people feel overwhelmed about it. So we definitely wanted to break down who gets a 1099, which are contractors, and what type of 1099s are out there. So I thought, Michelle, maybe it'll be good if we really break down, well, how do you even determine if this person is a contractor? Just because you pay them money, how do we determine this? So I would love, Michelle, for you to kick this off and let us know why it's so important to determine the difference between employee versus contractor for small business owners listening today.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, gosh, this topic, I can't tell you how many times I have this conversation with clients. You know, I'm sure you do the same thing, about what is an employee versus a contractor. And so the question, why do we care? Well, what I love to say is because it's the rule.
Okay, that part.
No, I just, you know, as a parent, you know, we always say, just because I said so. No. It is a rule, of course, but why is it important? Well, you know, if we think about it, we understand, most of us understand the employee side of things. You go work for somebody, you're on their payroll, and when you get paid X amount of salary or dollars per hour, you know that taxes are being withheld from that money on your behalf and paid to the taxing agencies. And we know those taxes are all your income taxes, Social Security, Medicare, et cetera. What a lot of people who are employees and spend their entire life being employee may not understand or know is that there's another part of the taxes. There's a whole half of the Social Security and Medicare tax obligation that is actually paid by the business, by the employer. And so those are what we call the employer payroll taxes. And so everybody understands the concept of employee. Great. They're sitting on the payroll. They pay the taxes. Well, a lot of times when you hire people as and they're independent contractors, assuming we just pay them a check, there's no withholdings of those taxes, either for them individually or nor are the business paying the payroll tax side of things, that other half of the Social Security and Medicare taxes that are required by the government. So when you own a business, people start thinking, oh, I'll just hire them as an independent contractor because that way I don't have to pay these taxes.
Exactly.
That's true. That is true. But is that correct? And so that's why it's really important to understand that there is a difference between an employee and an independent contractor. And there are rules out there, guidelines, I'll say, benchmarks that help you to determine. But it really comes down to taxes. And if you don't classify people, you could be facing a lot of penalties and fines. You could just really get into a lot of trouble for it.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about that towards the end of the show, because that is another piece. I don't think people realize that when the IRS penalizes you, they go back. They don't just go to, okay, this is today. They go back to the beginning of time, it seems like.
Yeah.
So what rules do the IRS use to determine contract versus employee? I definitely get this question a lot. They're like, okay, Veronica, well, what are the specific things? Because this person might be here every day, they'll say, but they're like, but they're totally independent. They're doing whatever they need to. I don't have to supervise them. So Michelle, I would love if you can break down some of the common law rules that we pulled from the IRS website on how do you determine, you know, if this person is a contractor.
You know, it's a really interesting point. There are these common law rules for sure, and I'm going to explain them to the listeners. But what I'll say up front is it's gray. It is not black and white. And so what I encourage clients to do is sit down with these common law rules and sort of make a little grid for yourself. Like literally take pencil to paper and write down, okay, in this case it falls on the right side or on this side of employee, and in this case it falls on the contractor side. And you know, so there's, and then figure out which one has more tick marks on which side of your grid, and that's the one you should go with. And this is important. I'm making fun of it, putting, you know, pencil to paper, but it is important to document your analysis. And this comes up again when if the IRS knocks on the door, you have a defense. Well, this is the analysis I went through to determine, is this person properly classified as an employee or independent contractor? So going back to what are these common law rules, it really all falls around how much control do you as the employer or business have over this individual. And so, for example, one of the three main areas is behavior. Does the business control what the worker, in this case, let's assume we'll just call it a worker, whether it's an employee or independent contractor, what that person, that worker is doing? Do you tell them specifically, I want you to do it this way and follow these specific steps? Or do you say, I need this done and focusing on the end result? So for example, if I'm having my office painted, I'm going to call a painter and I'm going to say, paint the office. But I'm certainly not going to tell them how to use the brush and how to get their strokes just right. So it's that kind of behavior. Do you control the step-by-step process, or do you just say, I need this end result? And that's sort of what we want to have the client focus on as the one hiring this person and asking them to do this work. Are they managing and controlling their behavior? The other component, or one of the other main common law rules, is a financial aspect. So, for example, are you, the hiring company, responsible for paying this particular worker's expenses to do the job? So typically, in my example, like a painter, I'm not responsible for reimbursing him for the paint that he used or the paint brushes or whatever. I'm paying him for a job. He's going to go buy all his supplies, et cetera. I'm not reimbursing him for mileage, for his meals, or things like that. So, and I'm using a very crude example, of course, you know, just for element of explaining purposes, but it's just that kind of financial aspect. Is the worker controlling how the worker is getting paid and whether the expenses are being reimbursed for tools or supplies or things like that? So again, it's not cut and dry. So that's just one other example of an aspect of the common law rules. The other one is this idea of the relationship. So a lot of times employees, I mean, especially here in the state of North Carolina, it's an employment at will state, which means there's no deemed contract between employee and employer. But there's an understanding. You know that you're going to be doing a job that you were hired for, et cetera. With an independent contractor, you more than likely probably have like a contract with the contractor. So, you know, do you have this relationship identified? Does it have a start and a stop? Is there a specific timeline? If it's sort of open-ended, is it, you know, a key aspect of what it is that your business does? And those things may be more pointing to an employee relationship. So, for example, a business may hire a marketing consultant. I would say that is probably a key aspect of the business, maybe not, but it's a defined period of time. I'm going to have this marketing person help my organization, and then they're going to go away. But if it's really open-ended and it's not something that I want to go away or expect to go away, then it's really an employee, or more in this form of the common law criteria, it falls in the category of employee, and maybe I should be hiring that marketing consultant to continuously do this marketing for me and my business. So it's just very gray. It's not very black and white, but you have to think about, do I control the behavior of the worker? How do they perform their job? Do I control the financial aspects of how the worker performs their job? Am I reimbursing them for their expenses? Typical employees get reimbursed for their expenses, for example. And do I have an employment contract? In other words, a contract of the service that I'm providing or being asked to provide with this particular organization. So if there's a contract or an understanding or an agreement in place. And that also leads to the, again, employees are eligible for employee benefits. Typically, we don't pay our contractors benefits, so they don't get vacation or holiday pay, or you know, can't participate in the pension or the 401k plan or health insurance, those kinds of things. Again, not black and white, it's just very gray. So hopefully that wasn't too confusing. What do you think?
No, and I think we should kind of stay in this area for a little bit, because a lot of people have the misconception. You mentioned behavior, financial, the type of relationship you have. A lot of times people just think, oh, well, this person is working full time. Well, then they're automatically an employee. Or this person's working part time. They're automatically a contractor. Well, I can tell you right now, I'm an employee for two businesses and I work part time.
Right.
But I'm still an employee. Or I can, you know, I am sometimes going every day to some clients. But at the time, the way I was taxed, I was a contractor. So it just, like you said, Michelle, it's very gray, but what I like to tell people for the most part out of all of these is, are you supervising this person? Do they have a physical presence with your staff every single day? They're going to staff meetings. Like for me, it's the behavior is the biggest part of the test. Because again, when I come in to do accounting for someone, they can't tell me how to do my job. They can just tell me what they need. I love the example you had with the painter. Now, if you had an in-house repair and maintenance person, you would buy their materials for them. So that's another thing. If I'm coming in to do accounting work, I have my own laptop. It's a business expense to me as a contractor. I have all my other accounting materials that I need. So I do think that your point, Michelle, of just writing it down and just breaking it down very simple, at least you can justify if you were ever to be audited, because I do know folks, none of my clients, but I do know folks that have been audited by the IRS because the IRS isn't buying that you have all these contractors consistently. And then if they keep seeing the same contractor getting paid every year, that just throws up a red flag.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I think in all cases, documentation is key. And you should revisit this documentation, this analysis that you have done, because things change sometimes over time. And so, you know, revisit it, document it, make sure that you understand what the rules are. And again, also the IRS can sometimes change their rules. But the good news is if you search on the internet, the IRS and the Department of Labor will have a really good sort of chart for you to follow. They'll have these lists and some examples of things for you to really look at where it talks about these common law rules, gives examples, and that would be really helpful. So I encourage the listeners to review it, research it, look it up. There are things out there that they can use as guidelines, and then document their decision, put it in a file, and revisit it at least annually. Is this still the case? Are we still doing this properly? Because, again, to your point, it's just so important to classify employees versus contractors really carefully and make sure you don't misclassify them. And I always tell my clients, err on the side of conservatism, right? So if you're confused, or if you do this analysis and it comes out even, you know, all the criteria, it's like, what's 50-50, employee, contractor, I would go with employee. Always go with employee, put them on the payroll, hire them, and pay the taxes. And the government won't question you.
I just want to note, Michelle has all the folks that work for our employees, part-time or full-time, and all of these individuals, for the most part, a lot of them have their own businesses.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. You know, and I appreciate, Veronica, thank you so much for bringing that up. I could go either way, right? These folks that work in our firm can also be independent contractors. You know, it's just the way we work in our firm. You know, the clients come to me and I say, this is more work than I can personally just do alone. So I hire people and have them help, and they are part of helping provide these services to the clients, can very easily fall into an independent contractor role. But I err on the side of employee because I want them to be treated as employees. I want to pay the fair share of taxes. I want them to have that employment opportunity, so to speak, you know, in terms of their own income taxes being withheld for them, but also because we help each other. We do provide information. We have weekly meetings. So there's other things that, you know, could fall into that employee category as opposed to independent contractor category. And I would just rather err on the side of being conservative, and everybody in our team is called an employee.
I love that. So before we wrap up the show, Michelle, of course, we have to talk about what are the financial consequences if you do not classify your contractor or employee properly. So the IRS is nice enough to say, okay, well, we have penalties if you did it unintentionally, the misclassification, or if you did it intentionally. But either way, we're going to penalize you financially for this. So some bullet points that I found on the IRS website, if you were unintentionally misclassifying a worker, you would have to pay $50 for each W-2 form that we, as the business owner, failed to file. And then also, since the employer failed to withhold income tax, it faces 1.5% of the wages plus 40% of the FICA taxes, which is your Social Security and Medicare, that was not withheld from that employee, and 100% of the matching FICA taxes that the employer should have paid. And there's interest that accrues, and there's penalties that accrue daily.
Ugh.
Yes. Then there's also a failure to pay taxes penalty, which is 0.5% of the unpaid tax liability for each month, up to 25% of the total liability. I even hate reading these because they're so overwhelming and compounded with the amount of percentages on percentages of penalties. With that being said, just make sure that you're classifying your people right, because it definitely gets a little tricky. And then if they do know that you did it intentionally, an employer could be subject to penalties that include 20% of all the wages paid plus 100% of the FICA taxes for both the employee and the employer share. So it can get very expensive. So we definitely encourage everyone to talk to a payroll specialist, to talk to tax accountants, to talk to accountants like ourselves, that we can point you in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Of making sure you're classifying your workers properly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That is a lot of taxes, a lot of penalties, a lot of cost if you are found to have misclassified these folks. And I think, you know, the listeners may also remember there's been some really high profile cases over the years where the IRS has found that even folks like FedEx was misclassifying employees versus contractors. You know, they were saying, oh, no, these people, we just pay, they just drive. Well, you provided them a uniform. You gave them the truck with the brand on it to drive the truck. You know, you told them what to do. You told them when to come to work and when to go home. An employee. So, and even today, we've got Uber drivers and
Amazon.
Exactly. You know, so these things are very high profile cases, we know, and the just highlights that the IRS is on it. And so just more important to understand that even as a small business, you don't want to have to be paying these god-awful taxes and penalties and fines, that you just should be doing the right thing from the beginning. And so it's really important to review who you're paying and what are you doing to control the behavior or the financial or the relationship of this particular individual, and document it, because that's a lot of penalties.
Absolutely. So, Michelle, I don't want to leave, but we're to the end of the show. And again, always learn something great from these shows, and I hope the listeners do as well. And just thank you for being a part of the Veronica Edwards Show in season 2.
Yeah, what a treat. What a fun time it is to be here and to share all this information with your listeners. I really appreciate it, Veronica.
No problem. And thank you again to the listeners for tuning in to bizradio.us. Please come back next week, same time, same place, 10 a.m. on Wednesdays for the Veronica Edwards Show. And if you missed the live airing, you can always listen to prior shows on veronicaedwards.buzzsprout.com.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. And be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.